Anyway, we're going to talk about the perils, the pitfalls, and poison of pornography. So Lamentations chapter 3 and verse number 48. Mine eye runneth down with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people. And in verse number 51, mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city. I want you to think about those two verses as we look at this issue of pornography again, as we talk about it again. Because one thing that I think is a dynamic that is left out of this discussion is that somebody's daughter you're gawking at. That's somebody's daughter, that could be somebody's wife, that's somebody else's property that you're staring at, and somebody else's life that's being destroyed. Lamentations 3:48 says very specifically that his eye runneth down with rivers of water. Why? For the destruction of the daughter of my people. Women are being destroyed in America today due to pornography. They're being destroyed. Psalms 101. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. Father, I pray you'd bless us now and help us, Lord, as we look at this subject again, as we look at the perils, the pitfalls, the poison of pornography. And Lord, I pray some people would repent. I pray some people would get some things right. Lord, I pray that your way and your will would be done in this sermon. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, pornography is one of the most damnable sins out there today. It is the sin that can be committed in private. You don't need an embarrassing stop at the gas station to buy a Playboy. You don't need to go to a video shop and rent it and have people see you in the adult section. You don't need to do anything but play it right from your smartphone or your computer. You can even get it free online. There are thousands of sites that offer free pornography online. YouTube probably does porn light. I don't know, I haven't looked, but I'm sure it's there. Most movies are full of pornography. All this pornography, and God absolutely hates it. By the way, you can even, if you want to be a real devil, you could even go incognito on your Google web search engine. You can go incognito, and nobody will even know besides God and maybe Google what you're doing. Just go incognito. You say, oh, you're telling people how to hide it. You ain't hiding from God. If you're a dirty, rotten, little, wicked reprobate that's watching that stuff, or a dirty, rotten, little, wicked sinner that's watching it, you think you're trying to use what I say to use it against me? You ain't going to use it against me. God's going to heap it on your head, pal, and your wicked little heart. We don't like that bold preaching today, though, do we? America doesn't like that. Baptist churches don't like it today either. But God's calling the remnant out of people that do want to do right. Amen? People that need it, people that want to live for God. Well, first I want to look at here today the perils of pornography. The perils. The Bible says that our times are perilous times. The Bible says that perilous times shall come. What does it say? For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Well, we're here. Definitely. Don't care about anybody else. Don't care about anything else. Just themselves. Just nothing matters but them, right? One of the perils of pornography is this, is viewing a woman as just a means to an end of pleasure and nothing more than that. Do you understand that? That is one of the dangers of pornography, that a man's mind becomes so rewired and satanic that the only thing that he thinks about when he looks at a woman is a cheap piece of meat to satisfy his wicked animalistic lust. Amen. That's good right there, isn't it? That a man will look at a woman that's like she is nothing more than a toy or a cheap piece of meat. Because that's what pornography makes a man look at a woman like. That's what becomes that. That's what he chooses to see a woman as when he's taken over, deprograms and desensitizes him. Jeremiah was burdened for the daughters of his people. He looked on them weeping, knowing that they would be abused and ripped up and taken into captivity and raped and mutilated. He knew that because Nebuchadnezzar was on his way. And he would not spare old or young, man or woman, child. He would rip them up. He would destroy them. It's the judgment of God. How about I think of it, when I think of this issue of pornography, it all starts in your mind, obviously, but I think of a story in the Bible. I want you to turn to 2 Samuel chapter 13. I want to talk about the perils of pornography here for a bit. And I want you to think about Amnon. Amnon looked at his sister Tamar as nothing more than a means to an end to satisfy his wicked animalistic lust. And that's all men that view pornography, that's all they are doing. They want to satisfy their wicked animalistic lust. That's all that it is. It has nothing to do with care, love, or anything else. Any of the other emotions that God placed inside of you and the responsibilities that God placed inside of you of having a wife of thy youth and a covenant with her, none of that stuff applies when you look at a screen. And it rewires and changes your brain to where the only thing you see him as is a means to an end. 2 Samuel 13:1, and it came to pass after this, that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. He loved her. And Amnon was so vexed. He didn't love her, by the way. Not love, like you know as love. You ever heard people say that they look at something, oh, I love that. Well, you don't really love it. Not like you love, not like you have that natural affection, that love that God has placed inside of you. But when they look at things, when they look at those things and they look upon pornography, Amnon looked at her with lustful eyes. And the only thing he looked at her with was he said he loved her. No, he loved what he was going to do to her. He didn't love her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar. Why? Because he had played that scenario over in his mind of how bad he wanted her. And nothing of decency or anything else mattered. The only thing that mattered was him fulfilling his desires. That's all that mattered. Nothing else mattered. Nothing. Nothing. Look at the story. Nothing mattered to him. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. Oh, what did he do? Ah, the wicked soul that hunts for the purity, destroy it. Proverbs 6:26 says, for by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. I realize that we're dealing with Amnon and Seb, but the same principle applies. They hunt for the precious life, the innocent life. And what did he do? Come on, he's the king's son. If all he wanted was a woman, all he had to do is go like this, and there'd be like 30 of them there. Right? What did he want? He wanted the fair virgin, the pure one. He wanted what was forbidden. The wicked lust of the eyes. It knows no boundaries. It knows no justice or purity. Its only desire is to be fulfilled at any cost. So he devised all this plan in his wicked mind. He lusted after her. He saw her, and he did take her when he got his chance. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 16 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. He had the lust of the flesh. Proverbs 27:20, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. Never satisfied. So 2 Samuel 13, verse number 12, and she answered him, nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly. And I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee. Now, I really believe what she was trying to do was get a way out. because she knew she'd go to her dad, and her dad would be like, you ain't getting her, right? So she wanted to go to her dad. Now, David was in such a stupid stupor of all the sin that he had committed and getting over what he had done with Bathsheba and all that stuff. That, remember the sword that would not pass? If you don't know what I'm talking about, go listen to the sermon series I did on David, the man after God's own heart. Why the man after God's own heart fell and the fourfold judgment of the man after God's own heart. If you've not heard those sermons, you need to go listen to them. You'll understand what I'm saying a lot better by that. And whither shall I cause my shame to go? Howbeit, he would not hearken unto her voice. He didn't care, did he? Why? Because all she was a cheap piece of meat. Just like when somebody looks at pornography and their mind gets all taken away with it and demonic forces enter into that and everything they have going, they don't care. Pretty soon in real life, they're going to act that out. They don't care if somebody cries out. They don't care if that person wants that, because their image and their impulses that they've implanted into their brain says, well, no, that's the way it's supposed to be. They're supposed to play out this way. This scenario is supposed to play out this way. She's not supposed to want that, but I'm supposed to take it anyway. See how that works? Howbeit, he would not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her. Then Amnon hated her exceedingly. Look at that. Look, right after he did it. What does it sound like? Same thing, pornography. What did Ted Bundy do? He got what he wanted. And then what did he do? He hated him and he killed him. Why? Because the eyes of man can't be satisfied. When you walk in the flesh like that, you cannot be satisfied. Nope. Then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. And Amnon said unto her, arise, be gone. Get out of here. After he had treated her like a cheap piece of meat, after he had abused her and used her, get out of here. And she said unto him, there is no cause. This evil in sending me away is greater than the other that thou didst unto me. But he would not hearken unto her. Then he called his servants that ministered unto him and said, put now this woman out from me, and bolt the door after her. Yeah. His sister. Just get rid of her. Get her out of here and get rid of her. See, Amnon planned this in his mind. He essentially had images of that pornography in his mind that he would eventually set out, that he would eventually act out. He planned it. Everything was all plotted and planned for. And in his mind, he had trained his mind that this scenario would be acceptable. Did you see it? Larry Brown preached a sermon, Amnon Had a Friend. And if you listen to that sermon, I mean, he had a friend that he planned everything out with, and hey, no, do this, and the king won't say no to you, and you'll be able to do this. And what did he do? He practiced it over and over and over in his mind, and he dreamed it up, and he schemed it up, and what happened? He went and did it. So what happens is that's what's going to happen when you watch those images. Oh, they're just images, preacher. They won't lead to anything. Don't worry about it. They won't lead to anything. Oh, yes, they do. They lead to fornication. Take it from a young man that had somebody when I was 12 years old hand me a big bag of pornography magazines. When I was 12 years old, a big garbage bag full. Mm-hmm. Sit here. By the way, he didn't give it to his own 12-year-old kid. He gave it to me. Here you go. Take this bag of pornography. You can have it. So what does that lead to? Fornication. How can it not? How can it not? Turn to Ezekiel chapter 8. You say, oh, they're just images, preacher. They're no big deal. God doesn't care. They're just images. I'm not really fornicating. You liar. You're a liar. You're a big liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. You know, by the way, lest you think I'm saying this just because I'm preaching to you, I would look you in your face, point my finger at you, and call you a liar to your face too. Okay? So you understand that. Because you are. Ezekiel chapter 8, verse number 9, and he said unto me, go in and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things and abominable beasts and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel. And in the midst of them stood Jazaniah, the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Hey, that was like back there today. Okay, anyway. Then said he unto me, son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imagery? Go back and listen to that Ezekiel chapter 18, chambers of his imagery that I preach. Ezekiel chapter 8, excuse me, chambers of his imagery. I preach that in the Hollywood series. Go listen to it. You need to hear it. But he looked back. God said, look at these images that are everywhere. But God doesn't care about them, huh? Oh, yeah, God cares about them. God said, I'm bringing judgment upon these people. Then he said, son of man, hast thou seen what the angels of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imagery. How about that? If that isn't pornography, I don't know what is. Hast thou seen what those professing Christians do in the churches today? How they go home, these fathers, these daddies that take their children to church on Sunday and act like they're religious. Hast thou seen what they do in the dark? Hast thou seen them go to their pornography in the dark when they think their wife is sleeping and doesn't know what they're doing? When they're going out and they do it on the side of the road somewhere, they look at something on the side of the road, or they're checking it on their smartphone, or they're engaging in pornography. Hast thou seen now, O son of man, what they do in the dark? For they say, the Lord seeth us not. The Lord hath forsaken the earth. He said also unto me, turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations that they do. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the house which was toward the north. And behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. What's that? That's the false god. Those are the orgies at the temple. That's what that is. Okay? Oh, that stuff's all new, preacher. Oh, no, it's not. No, it's not. You think pornography's new? Oh, no, pornography's not new. That's right. Pornography's not new. They carved it on trees and in groves. They carved images on trees. We'll talk about that when Nate and I do the history of pornography. But they carved it on trees and images. That's why God said, don't you put one of them dirty, stinking, rotten, devilish groves near my temple or tabernacle. You keep that away from my tabernacle. And what did they do here? They made an image of jealousy. I think it was a phallic symbol. The image of jealousy. For what? To make me jealous, God said. And he said it to me. Then said he unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house. And behold, the door of the temple of the Lord between the porch and the altar were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east. And they worshiped the sun towards the east. Then he said unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence. Wait a minute, back up. Wait a minute. Okay. So they had images. They had pornographic parties in the temple. So wait, you're saying images, pornography, violence. Yeah, right there. And turning their backs on God at the same time. That's right. You see that? You see how it all works together? God said, for they have filled the land with violence and have returned to provoke me to anger. And lo, they put the branch to their nose. Therefore will I also deal in my fury. You think God's going to take this? How long do you think God's going to take this? You think God's just some push around Santa Claus up in heaven that's just waiting to bless you and give you all these things, and a bunch of wicked reprobate people out there that call themselves Christians, that hate biblical preaching, that hate the preaching of this word, that hate the local church and hate everything that God instituted on this earth, yet claim to be Christians? Yeah, they went to the temple, but they have their chambers of imagery in their darkness, the things that they do in the dark. You think God's going to bless this country? You're crazy. Amen. This is the most wicked nation on this earth.
Amen.
It is the most wicked nation on this earth. You have pornography run amok in this nation, and it's infested the churches as well. Preachers run around, we're going to plan a revival. Why don't you get rid of some sin first, then you might be able to see God do a work. Why don't you start preaching against sin the way it's supposed to be? Instead of inventing 12-step programs for people, preach the word!
Amen.
I suppose there's saved pornographers and saved, according to these modern-day, the gospel doesn't change anybody. It's okay. You know, yeah, you might be in sin watching pornography, but you're probably saved, and you'll continue in it. And listen, if you don't repent of that, you're not a child of God. How do you like that? I bet you don't like that, do you? Good. Let me say it again. If you're not willing to repent of that, then you are not God's child. Why? Amen. Because God is going to judge you for that. And if you're his child, the chastening of the Lord comes into that. I know this is going to get me in trouble for saying that, because I'm going to have a bunch of people going to get all, oh, he's preaching work salvation. No, I'm preaching a gospel that changes people. Remember that? Amen. That one. That one you called me heretic for, that's the one I'm preaching, yeah. That one. Because the my Bible says that God chastens who he loves. If you be not chastised, then are you not sons, then are you bastards.
Amen.
And I think there's a whole lot of bastards out there. Right. That's what I think. Right. Not only do I think that, the Bible says it. I know they do. They hate that word, repentance. You're going to hate it even more when you're screaming it from the lake of fire. Yeah, exactly. They don't like the word bastard either. Listen to me. One peril of pornography is that you will view women as nothing more than body parts of satisfaction, and that's all. And that's all women are in America today. You look around. You go downtown and preach where we do, and you watch how men and women, they're all the same. Like, nobody's sensitive to a lady being around. They don't care. There's no difference. Those ladies are bold. Those ladies come up and chew us out more than the men do. Their boyfriends are like this. Oh, stop. Come on, let's go. Come on. Come on, let's go. Come on. Come on, let's go. Leave me alone, says the woman as she's standing over there.
Exactly right.
Ridiculous. You just remember one thing. While you're fulfilling your lustful desires, that's someone's daughter that's being defiled by some other wicked man that you're indulging your lustful desire in. That's somebody's daughter. You wicked pervert. How would you like it to be your daughter that someone was staring at, or your wife that someone was staring at? You know, by the way, people don't realize this. Did you know about pornography? A lot of people don't know this. Many of those girls that you're watching are being forced against their will by some wicked pimp that is beating them and stealing all their money and that they are profiting from. Do you understand that? Most of those girls that you're indulging yourself on the screen have been taken from their homes. They have been runaways that are captured by a pimp. Their purity is destroyed, and that man beats her until he gets the money out of her, and he forces her into the most ungodly, wicked, fornicating acts for you to get your jollies off of, you sick pervert! I promise you, I'm not pulling any punches with this at all. I'm not gonna. I intend to draw blood. You know, these girls are getting AIDS and other diseases and ruining their lives against their will, or they're being brainwashed by a bunch of disgusting, wicked, old perverts. They're runaways from homes. But to you, they're just some cheap piece of meat that's expendable for your lustful satisfaction. Oh, you got the scenario all played out in your mind. They love everything that's happened on there, right? You fool! They're being forced to do that. Most of them are being forced. Look up human trafficking. Because that's what the pornography industry is built on. You think some girl actually likes that disgusting things happening to her by some old disgusting pervert? Man, they're going to kick me out of here. I'm being loud. I'll let them. I don't care. Let them.
Amen. Glory to God.
Go meet in that field over there.
Amen.
Threaten me. Threaten me with a blessing. Go ahead and do it. Just make me have faith in God. That's all you'll do to me.
Make us double down.
That's right. God help you to see that daughters of your people are being destroyed by pornography. They're being destroyed. That could be your little girl. It's somebody's little girl. I want to read you this story here. This is just one of many. Three people were arrested on human trafficking charges after they forced a 13-year-old runaway girl into prostitution and exotic dancing, authorities said. Now listen to this. Vilbert Jean, 36, Marlene San Vicente, 22, and Dwayne Ward, 18, were all charged with human trafficking, contributing to the delinquency of a minor, lewd and lascivious conduct on a person less than 16, and delivering a controlled substance to a person under 18, the Miami-Dade State's Attorney Office said Wednesday. According to the State's Attorney Office, the girl ran away from home on December 10th. Listen. And was found by her mother on January 6th in the area of North Miami Avenue and Northeast 55th Street. The girl had been forced into prostitution for the benefit of Jean San Vicente and Ward, and then forced to dance as an exotic nude dancer after she refused to continue to engage in prostitution, the state's attorney's office said. Guess where she was? She was in a strip club dancing. That's where she was. A 13-year-old girl. So you know what, you little pervert out there, that you're going to a club and you think these all girls are, everything's fine? No, these are little babies that are being taken in there. And you might think they're older, but they're not. They're somebody's daughter. Yeah, exactly. Then you have parades out here, just right out here, and they got all these little girls dancing in front of them, singing songs, Shake It for Me. What is that? What is that? That is, all that is doing is preparing them for that lifestyle. That's all they're doing. You think going to one of those strip clubs, oh, that's just, that's, you know, those girls are all willing, they all want that. How do you know? No, they're not. Because most people don't know how those guys operate. Some of you never been on a darker side of this life, okay? Some of you don't know how people operate like that. Well, let me tell you, they don't. They're forced, they're beat, or they'll be killed and you'll find them in a ditch somewhere. Or they'll be burned up in an incinerator somewhere. Bunch of fools. San Vicente supervised and tutored the girl on how to work the nude club scene and how to maximize her tips and earnings, which were also handed over to her exploiters, the state's attorney's office said. At some point, the girl was forced to dance at Club Madonna, where she earned more than $1,000 and was forced to hand over the earnings to her handlers, authorities said. And see, some of you, I know what's going on. Some of you that listen to this in your mind, you're saying, well, that's just, no, that's most of the cases. See, that's how it works. It's called exploitation. And your little perverted reasoning, mind trying to reason it away, you can't. You are guilty as the devil. And you will burn in the lake of fire for all of eternity. Lest you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Amen. At some point, the girl was forced to dance at that club. Richard Wolf, an attorney for Club Madonna, said San Vicente was... Vicente was a dancer. So one of the ladies that kidnapped her, she was a dancer at that club. Oh, that's interesting. Huh. You know, it almost makes me wonder if that's what the guy that owns that club does. He has dancers get other girls, get them into the lifestyle, kidnap them, get them up over the age of 18 for a while, and then put them up on or under 18, but hide them and get them convinced that this is a good thing to do, and then keep them in there until they're 18, and then it's like, well, nothing can happen because, see, she wanted to do this. See how that, and it wasn't him, it was some girl. You see, here's what you have to understand. When you don't have a criminal mind, you don't get it. It's like people don't understand the way Jesuits work. Well, I mean, do you have any actual proof they're actually doing this? No, stupid. Let me help you with something, okay? I want to help you with something. Don't say stupid. Okay, stupid. Listen, okay? I want to help you with something, okay? And I know, and some of you don't like the way I do things, but I, quite frankly, I really don't care right now, okay? Because I know who I'm preaching for and who I'm working for, and it don't bother me a bit. Not at all. Anyway, listen. Here's how they work, okay? Just so you understand. When you're a criminal... and you're a smart one, you never hold the bag, okay? Do you get that? Okay, you just don't do that. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Because I was a criminal, that's how I know. Okay? That's how I know. And you don't ever hold. You always have somebody else do it for you. That's how it works. When you're smart. Now, if you're a stupid street thug, you're the stupid guy that's holding the bag, okay? You're the guy that somebody like me would have paid to hold that. Well, stupid, you went to jail. Yeah, because you're dumb. Okay? So that pimp that runs that strip club, guess what? He does the same thing. And guess what? He's still running. He's got an attorney, and that girl's going to jail for pimping that other girl out, and he gets off scot-free. See how that works? Okay, Richard Wolfe, an attorney for Club Madonna, said San Vincenti was a dancer at the club on and off for 2 years. We don't know how the alleged minor showed up at the club. You stinking liar. What do you mean you don't know a 13-year-old girl? You can't tell the difference in a 13-year-old girl? You don't say, show me your ID, 13-year-old girl? Really? Come on. How stupid can people be? Very, never mind. We don't know how the alleged minor showed up at the club. We understand and been told that this Marlene brought her in, Wolf said. He added, I don't know, Wolf, what an appropriate name. Huh? He added, I don't know what this person looks like. As I said, we're fully investigating and we intend to get to the bottom of it. So it's hard for me to comment on facts that are unknown to us. Club Madonna's owner, Leroy Griffith, he said he had no idea the victim had been forced to dance there. I mean, it's only my club. I had no idea this 13-year-old girl was dancing nude on my stage. No idea whatsoever. I mean, how would I know? Wow. We looked through the files. We can't find no contract. Oh, I bet you can't find a contract. I'm sure you couldn't find one. So, everybody that works here has a contract and rules and regulations that work here, Griffith said. And so somehow, unfortunately, she got in there with the club. The arrests were made by the state's attorney's office human trafficking task force, which was working with the Miami and Miami Beach police departments. This sad case shows how quickly human traffickers locate their young prey and turn them from children into cash-producing machines, Fernandez Rundle said in a statement. Sadly, to human traffickers, destroying a helpless child's life is unimportant when compared to the consistent flow of cash in their pockets. Not to mention the perverts that fuel it and pay for it and watch it and go see it. Right? The people that walk into those clubs, the men that walk into those clubs that support that. By the way, just so you know, you're supporting that. Every girl that's ever been trafficked out there, everyone that's ever been in pornography and everything else, you that have watched it, you have supported it. You have supported it. And you are guilty before God. And you better repent. Right. The people of this community will not tolerate this. With the help of my human trafficking task force and my specialized human trafficking prosecutors, we will end this hideous practice. No, you won't. No, you won't. Because half of you were in on it, too. Oh, did I say that? You better believe it. You say, Preacher, now how do you know that? Well, let me tell you how I know that. The FBI just released reports that stated what? They stated that, hey, the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Agency, worked together with the Mexican drug cartel. And guess what the Mexican drug cartel paid for all their prostitution? What? Not the virtuous United States government, not the department, not the DEA. Now, they certainly wouldn't do that, would they? They certainly wouldn't be involved in prostitution or child trafficking, would they? Well, you just pray for me because people don't like it when you say things like that. But I know God will protect me until he wants me gone. He's still got some work for me to do, I know. January is National Slavery and Human Trafficking Prevention Month. Florida Attorney General Pam Bondi has partnered with the state's Department of Transportation. Anyway, raising awareness, they say. All right, this was published January 8th, 2014. And this is just one. This is just one. There are thousands of these cases all over the place that's going on right now. Girls that run away from home and are forced into pornography movies and strip clubs. That's the peril to them. Man, I haven't even got started yet. I'm serious. I'm not even done yet. I'm just getting warmed up. Whew. That's the peril to them. Girls that run away from home. Now, the Bible says this, Proverbs 9:17, stolen waters are sweet and bread eaten in secret is pleasant, but he knoweth not that the dead are there and that her guests are in the depths of hell. Then there's the peril to the actual person that watches pornography. There's a danger in you watching pornography. We've already talked about the way it wires your brain, but I'm going to tell you about another spiritual danger that there is. Pornography is a gateway to devils to possess you. It is absolutely a gateway, and I'll prove it to you from Scripture. I just did right there, by the way. He knoweth not that the dead are there. Who are the dead? They are the spirits, the devils. They are the ones that roam this earth. And the dead are there, and they watch, and they enjoy, and they entice, and they push it, and they prod it. Like Ted Bundy said, there was a force that took me over. You're right, it did. It was a devil, or many devils. And that's what pornography does. Stolen waters are sweet, though, aren't they? It is important to understand that magic and devils have always been associated with fornication. As we see in the Scriptures, the dead are there. The dead, called spirits or spirits, some say spirits of the Nephilim, the fallen angels, or fallen angels, or even the spirits of those giants. Okay? Some people say that those are the demons. I don't care what they are, I just know they're evil. Okay? They're evil. There is another peril of porn, though, that demonic activity. Listen to this. This is an interesting quote. Most every act or ritual Aleister Crowley described that shocked the culture of his day can now be seen on the internet with a good search term and a few clicks of the mouse. His magic ceremonies that he did, that's what the porn industry is made off of. And that's what it is. Every wicked, disgusting, vile thing that he did, that's what the porn industry does today. Why? Because he's really one of the fathers of it, that's why. Modern day, anyway. Obviously, we know it's in history. But he's one of the Aleister Crowley. There's no man in America's history that has influenced America strongly or pop culture today stronger than Aleister Crowley. He was called 666, the Beast. What he wrote in his books is exactly what is done on camera today. Proverbs 2:18 says, "For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead." What does that mean? That fornication leads to death. That's what it means. And the dead are there. When you watch porn, you're inviting and interacting with devils. I want to read you a quote by former witch turned preacher Bill Schneblin. He said this in his Chick Publications book that he wrote, "There is another reason beyond the issue of sexual morality that no Christian should have this in their home. Careful study shows us that the oldest idols or objects of worship in human history are the reproductive organs." Right? Sons of God, daughters of men, phallic symbol, the Washington Monument, D.C., the obelisk, right? Yeah. Baal's missing piece, Baal's shaft, whatever you want to call it, that's what it's called. Since most pornography, by the way, they were objects of worship in human history or the reproductive organs. This is probably natural since they produce life and pleasure. Since most pornography focuses primarily on secondary characteristics, indulgence in it becomes both literal and spiritual, a kind of adultery, idolatry, or Baal worship. It is pornography is Baal worship. It is the worship of the sexual organs. It is Baal worship. When you are indulging in pornography, you are indulging in Baal worship. That is the worship that God hates. Right, the second commandment the Catholics did away with, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image." That's right. They had to get rid of that because they worship phallic symbols as well. Because they're a bunch of dirty, rotten perverts. The papacy is. One need only understand the phallic symbol, the generative principle, and the sons of God and daughters of men to get why witches use fornication in their ceremonies. All you got to do is look at that. All the way through the Bible and all the way through history, you see Baal worship, what God hated. And what is it? It's the worship of those symbols. And it's all centered. All false gods are essentially Baal. They are one form or another of Baal. That's who they are. And Satan, obviously, Lucifer, we understand, okay? But they are all pretty much the form of the same God. They're a form of Lucifer, pretty much. All false gods are. They eventually all go back to Baal. That's right. They all pretty much go back there. Don't believe me? Well, don't believe me. Believe an ex-witch, then. Believe a man that was into witchcraft. He was a high-level witch. He was a high-level Freemason. And among many other things, a high-level Mason. A high-level Mormon. And he said one of the strongholds in people's homes, they have devils in their home, and one of the problems is pornography. That's what he said. But see, you don't want to put a human face to these things, do you? You just want to think it's images on screen, because that's all it is to you, is images on screen. Nobody pays attention to the face of the person. It's the images. That's why it's Baal worship, because that's the concentration on the images. That's what you see in all the cults. You see the same exact thing. So there's a peril or a danger of possession of devils. Only Jesus can break that porn curse. Some of you people that are out there watching pornography have devils in you, and you're possessed. You say, I can't get rid of it. I can't stop it. I know. Because those devils have to go, and you've got to repent and believe on Jesus Christ. And he's the only one. See, I grew up in church. I don't care where you grew up. I don't care if you grew up in a jungle. Chances are, you are lost and dying in your sins and on your way to hell. You can have no victory in this life because you've never been born again. You have never been regenerated. You have never been made new by the Spirit of God, and that is why you cannot break free. Amen. Number two. Man, I'll tell you what. This has been long. Here, let me see here. All right, that's not too bad, though. I've been going 45 minutes for you. That's not too bad. The pitfalls and poison of pornography. One pitfall of pornography is that when you wish to be delivered and are forgiven of your sins, the images never go away. Lamentations 3:51, mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city. We preached on burning an image never to be erased. You can go back and listen to that. The images that get trapped in your mind that never go away. Sure, we can clean up and get renewed daily in our mind, but the images will come back to haunt us. It is a major pitfall to pornography because of things that you have seen which are not natural. It will affect you in ways that you cannot understand. It is a snare and a trap by the devil, and it messes with you and images that cannot be erased. They will forever. Anytime, that's why God only meant for you to have your wife and never to look at any other. Amen. But when you got all of America today walking around biblically nude, you are seeing parts on people's bodies that God never intended you to see, parts of their bodies that God never intended you to look at. Why? Because those images trap in your mind and you will see them and you can't get them out of your mind. It's a snare and a trap because your eye affects your heart. That's one pitfall, the loss. Another pitfall we talked about in the last sermon was your loss of intimacy with your wife. When you have a false sense of love like Amnon did for Tamar, his sister, he couldn't properly love. He hated her. And this is one of the pitfalls to pornography. It's not real love. It's just images on screen. And you expect your wife to be that image on screen. You expect your wife to conduct herself like those images of the reproductive organs. That's how you expect your wife. That's all that is supposed to be. That's what happens to your mind. By the way, you can deny it all you want to, but it's true. It's the way it is. Try to love intimately. It may be a big pitfall that only a mighty work of the Spirit can get you through. When you give your heart over to lust and evil, it kills things inside of you, and it kills part of your heart. It darkens the heart and destroys intimacy. Another pitfall is you will have to retrain your eyes. and how long you look at something or someone. You will need to guard your eyes more so than you would have if you had kept your eyes pure, because your eyes will naturally go to places they shouldn't go and look at things they shouldn't see, and things will come up before you that you're going to have to look away from, and you're not going to have to be very careful when you look, because your eyes have been trained to look at those specific organs. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is this too real for you? I hope it wakes you up. I hope it makes you hate it. You'll need to be careful of images and the way others are dressed around you and not look at those that are immodest. Yes, of course, the Bible says we all should make a covenant with our eyes. We understand that. But once you have already exposed your eyes and your brain to such evil, it affects you. Because your brain has been trained to look for those things and to look at those parts and things like that. And that's what happens. That's the dangers of pornography. That's why we warn children, don't get involved, don't get close to anything like that. Stay away from that. But you have indulged in such wickedness, you'll be attracted to it in the flesh and the evil. And you must walk in the Spirit or you'll fulfill the lust of the flesh, because you are more prone to have eyes that wander. Your imagination will be inundated with images of your past that will bring you to tears if you allow yourself to dwell upon them too long. It will vex your soul. How do you know, preacher? Because I did it, that's why. And I have to live with it for the rest of my life. Because I viewed pornography when I was a lost man, and I watched those things, and I seen images of things that I never should have saw. And I feasted on those things, and I walked in the lust, and I did everything you could imagine as evil as far as that part goes. And I had no restraints on that, besides normal legal restraints, that is. But no restraints from other things. And what did it do? It affected my mind. It's a pitfall to pornography, and it'll affect you forever. Normal intimacy with the bride of thy youth will not be enough if you're not careful and not walking in the Spirit, for your eyes will always be wandering and never be satisfied. And you'll have to fight it. That's a pitfall of pornography. And the poison of pornography. Your mind has been poisoned by pornography. And you will find yourself comparing images of what you saw to that of your wife. You will compare things in your mind. And you will have to repent and renew your mind and think on spiritual things. Because your mind has been so poisoned by images. You have taken pleasure in iniquity, and your flesh will not allow you to forget that. Your mind has been poisoned with pornography. That is why we warn children and people the effects of pornography on the mind. Poison with fantasy that is not reality. It's not reality. Reality is not that. Reality is not the images of reproductive organs on a screen somewhere in a fornication. That is not reality. Reality is every day living for Jesus Christ, every day having a wife and caring for her and watching her go through the jaws of death to bring life into this world. That's life. Those other things aren't life. They're fantasy. They're not even fantasy. They're tragedy is what they are. They are death. Reality is a lady having babies. That's reality. And having a real body from it. That's reality, friend. But you know what? When your mind is so trained to see these fake, phony, plastic bodies that are on screen, right? That, by the way, if they slip up and mess up, they go have abortions and go back to their pornography. Right? I'm sorry. I might just preach another sermon called The Pornification of America. I'm really thinking about it. I'm going to do it. I'm sure I am. Anyway. You've been poisoned with fantasy that is not reality. Reality is not fake body parts and obsession with them. Reality is a lady having babies. The wife of thy youth that will stay by your side, not some poor fake whore on the screen that has been satanically enslaved to the sin of pornography. Yeah, you don't like to think about that little girl that leaves that place, right? That's been brutally raped. Oh, no, that's not the way it was. Oh, yes, that's the way it was, you sick pervert. That's exactly the way it was. a lady, the wife of thy youth, that will stay by your side. That's real. But that's the poison of porn. It poisons new relationships. It poisons old ones as well. It has caused you to do things you never would have done had your mind not been poisoned by pornography. God help you if you're into pornography today. You are poisoned by it and you don't even realize it. You've been taken captive at the devil's will. You say, I'm a Christian. I don't believe it. You've given yourself over to the devil's pornography and you won't repent of it. If you are, then you stand up and repent of it. Confess your sin, cry out to God, and get a supernatural deliverance from the Holy Ghost of God. If you are God's child, but don't walk around claiming to be saved while you go in the dark and watch your wicked pornography. Who you fooling? Nobody. You might fool Steven Anderson with that garbage. You might fool that heretic with it, but you ain't fooling a gospel preacher with it.
Amen.
You're seduced by doctrines of devils. You've been taken captive. Most of these people are lost and dead in their sins and cannot get victory over pornography. They've been so poisoned by it and deceived by it. And they're supposed to be saved. You're a phony and a liar if you cannot repent. God gives his children power over sin, and they can repent through the Holy Ghost of God. I didn't say it was your own power. That's what your problem is, Steven Anderson, every one of those jokers out there. They think you do it by your own power. Let me reiterate something to you. You can't do anything by your own power. It's the Holy Ghost of God inside of you through the shed blood of Jesus Christ that gives power over sin. I didn't change me. Jesus Christ did the work. Amen. And he gets the glory for it.
Amen.
Not your little 1, 2, 3, pray after me prayer and let me continue in pornography and live a life of wickedness. My God is a God of deliverance.
Amen.
Fall on your knees then if you're a Christian and cry out to him. If you're a lost man, cry out to him. Crawl on your knees. Beg God for deliverance today because you are on your way to a devil's hell and you will burn there for all of eternity. And those lustful images will haunt you in hell and they will burn in your lust from hell and you will continue to see those images and have no satisfaction for them and it will drive you crazy for all of eternity. If you have no real salvation testimony, you better cry out to God in repentance and faith. He is able to deliver thee, but you must repent. Yes, that's sorrow in the heart and turn from your wicked sins. I suppose Anderson would tell you, you don't have to turn from your wicked sins. You just keep doing your pornography and say your little prayer and Jesus is going to keep you. And you know what? Nothing will happen. Jesus will take you to heaven. You keep looking at your pornography and keep living a life of hell. What a joke. God's children are not in bondage to sin. You understand that? They've been delivered from darkness to the glorious kingdom of Jesus Christ. They fall, but God will hold them up because he promises that. They knoweth not that the dead are there, do they? You knoweth not that you've been deceived by devils and pornography has you. The poison of pornography has poisoned your mind. You've been taken by the perils, the pitfalls, and the poison of porn. God help you to be delivered today. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse number 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the truth of it. Dear God, use this to deliver some today, I pray, in Jesus' holy name. Amen.